This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Just pray that we'll have joyful hearts and receive your word, and you give us a great word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've all heard the expression, haste makes waste, right? And but we've also heard the expression, the early bird gets the worm, and you snooze, you lose, right? We've heard those too, right? So like we've got these two ideas, and they kind of compete against each other. And this is Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you could turn there, Ecclesiastes 11:4. He who observes the wind will not sow, like plant, like grass seeds, or I guess back then it would be barley or wheat or something to sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap, which is harvest, to collect the grain from them. And back then they didn't have a weather app, you know. And we have a weather app now. And I remember as a kid, it's probably the 70s. My grandfather was a farmer, and he had to be in there to watch the weather every day. Couldn't miss the weather. But it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. And it's got a spiritual application, and no computer app is going to help us to determine the spiritual application, right? It might help us determine the actual weather, but it's not going to help us determine the spiritual weather. The Holy Spirit needs to do that. So we sow when the time comes, whatever wind blows, and we harvest when the time comes, whatever clouds are in the sky. I was just talking to Mark, and he said he's got to work on a metal roof tomorrow. You know, it's time to make money, and he's going to do it. You know, like, it's going to be hot, but it's time to do it. And so we harvest when the time comes, whatever clouds are in the sky. Well, the harvest is white. Don't say it's not ready. John 4, it's ready. It's white. And also in Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And we want to sow in good weather, right? We want to be smart about it. We want to make hay when the sun shines or when it's looking for nice weather, preferably not humid, I think. Maybe Will could come up and give us a 30-minute exposition on making hay. But anyway, you want to do it when it doesn't rain on it. I know that. And you want a good probability of getting it in dry. But Solomon here, he's pushing the other side of the matter. He'd noticed some people wait for a more convenient season, which never came. So he's like pushing it to just do it, get to it, nothing to it but to do it, kind of. And when I feel more holy, when I get my act together, I'm going to do it. And you might be forever before you step out in faith, right? And you go on a mission trip. Oh, it costs a lot of money. It's far away. I got to use a lot of vacation. There's a lot of clouds. There's a lot of wind. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons, right, not to do something. Go soul winning. When I have courage and I sense his presence, I'll give the guy at the gas station a track. When I feel like really courageous and I sense God lead me to that particular person, that's okay. We want to do that when God leads us to that particular person. But he wants us to go now when we don't feel anything too. I'm going to read my Bible more. One day I'll do it. Next month, I'll make a plan, a New Year's resolution. Well, maybe you could just forget about the clouds and start doing it now. You know, like now could be your New Year's resolution. And I'm preaching to myself too, by the way, you know, like all these things. I'll receive Jesus as my Savior one day. I've heard people say that. And what they're kind of thinking is, I'll wait till this big cloud of sin is gone from my life and I'm ready. Well, you might be waiting a long time. And same thing with rededicating your life to God. If you're a believer and you want to just follow God, and you're going to wait till your sin goes away before you follow God, you got a long time coming. You know, you just follow him now. So Solomon makes a very broad statement without balancing it. Take no notice of the winds or clouds. Go on with your work, whatever happens. And in any labor that we set out to do, if you take too much notice of the difficulties, you never do it. You keep analyzing. And say a mechanical job. If you're not Bill Rogers, you're somebody like me, you got to look at YouTube. So sometimes I look at YouTube. I changed this little thing in Becca's steering column one time, and there were wires everywhere. And I'm like taking mental note. Okay, first you do this, and it unplugs that way. And then you do that one, and then you do this. About 10 wires down, I'm like, I can't remember all this. You actually have to get into it in order to see what you're doing. You actually have to, there's nothing to it but to do it. You just got to start. And so, yeah, even with technology, the only way to do it is to actually start doing it with some jobs. Otherwise, it'll be too hard in your mind. And one side says, take note, count the cost, right? Don't build a building without counting the cost, kind of thing. But the other side says, just do it. And so today we're going to talk about just doing it without, and you can balance it yourself. So earthly things, the poor farmers, they might have a crop of hay and fret themselves to death. And they have a rational excuse. The wind, when they, I guess they're throwing the seed by hand, can blow the seed where they don't want it. It's better to, when it's not windy, I guess. But either way, they have a rational excuse, and they're frozen. They're frozen because of their excuse. And the seed may die in the dirt when it's sown. You got blight, you got mildew, you got birds, you got worms. And then when you're about to reap the harvest, you could cut it, and the rains could come and just ruin everything. And then you look at another occupation, the sailor. Dean just left. The sailor left. But anyway, he's got the weather app, GPS, everything. He doesn't need to hear this part. But no, seriously, though, the sailor, if he regarded the wind and the clouds, he'd probably never go out, right? And can anybody guarantee a sailor that they're not going to run into a storm? They're not going to hit choppy weather? Even with all the technology we have today, no, they can't. Dean has some stories of he got caught in choppy weather. I was with him one time. But so like, if you observe the winds, you never sail. You observe the clouds, you never go to deep water. How about traders, like a merchant? We don't have so many merchants today where you go out and buy something and bring it back. But maybe somebody trades in real estate or stocks. Well, if you're so worried about the market, you might be frozen and never do anything. And I could just go and say, I looked at that. If I had bought that and that and that, I'd be so rich right now. But I was too, I guess, conservative. I didn't take the leap, you know. But so this point is, like, people that do invest, they have to take a risk. What is it? No risk, no reward. Nothing risked, nothing gained. They have these sayings, and there's truth to them. There's also truth to being conservative and not being too risky, but we're talking about right now not being frozen, not just sitting still, like, to do something. And there's no occupation, there's no calling that doesn't have the risk and difficulties. And Solomon's using these earthly examples. But the spiritual application, the same thing. There's clouds, there's rain, there's obstacles, there's challenges. And if we imagine that when we sow God's seed and gather his sheaves, that there'll be no disappointments, then we'll be disappointed. We'll be disappointed in that. Because there will be. Like, we see that there will be. But we can't, like, be preoccupied with that. If we dream that when you go fishing for men, there'll always be smooth sailing and perfect winds. The disciples didn't have that. They had some storms, right, when they went fishing. But Jesus is in the boat with us. And we're like that too. The heavenly trading won't have less trials than an earthly merchant, probably. But God is with us through them. God's in the boat with us. And God tells us, he who observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the cloud shall not reap. So what's the seed? What are we sowing? We're sowing a seed, right? Well, obviously, in Mark 4, it's the word of God, right? The seed's the word, right? We have the word. And we should sow the word in our own heart, right? We should read the word and sow it in our own heart. We should sow it in our family. We should speak truth into our family's lives and live the word. Like some people say, yeah, I really should get my kids to church. I was like, you know what you could do that's even better? Is if, like, you go to church. You know, like, if you walk with God, your kids are watching you. Like, you're sowing, by doing that, you're actually sowing into their life because you'll have a word to give to them. And so, like, your friends, the body, you can sow the word with each other. And the lost, we sow the word with the lost. We give them a word in season. And then serving, there's a lot of ways we can sow, right? But here's one, giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 10. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It doesn't say, he who sows in the wind will reap sparingly, and he who sows when he sees clouds will reap sparingly. He just says, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully, right? And the context is giving. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But this principle of sowing and reaping is an earthly principle. We can apply it to our families, to the church. We can apply it to giving, to serving. If you don't sow, you don't reap. And here it's applied to giving. And what are the winds and clouds to giving? Well, one of the big ones would be, I don't have enough. I need my money. I want some worldly stuff. Or I don't even have enough food. I need my money, right? Like, I just don't have enough money. So this would be a cloud or a wind to that, right? And it says, now may he who supplies the seed to the sower. So he gives us a supply. He gives us a supply for giving. This is the context of it. He gives us money to give. That's the supply. And supply, and he gives us the word to soul win. He gives us a word. He gives us the seeds, right? The seeds we need. Now, may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And I think sometimes it can mean when you give, God will give you back material stuff. But sometimes it means when you give, you got a reward in heaven. You know, you don't know where it is, but there, you're going to reap. There's a promise. You're going to reap bountifully. If you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. That's giving. And there's boxes in the back, by the way. Giving's down this summer. But, and there's no pressure either. Cheerfully, like as God leads you. But it is a principle we need to know. And there's a blessing in it. And some more winds and clouds. How do we know what the money will be spent on? Well, when we tithe, if we're like really concerned about how much it costs to cut the grass or something, then we're never going to tithe. We're just not going to sow, right? If we're so concerned about every detail, we won't sow. Ecclesiastes 1:5 talks about you don't know how a baby's formed in the womb. Like how the soul gets into a baby. Like, how does that happen? Like, you don't know that. That's what happens with seeds. When you put seeds in the ground, you go to sleep. You don't know what happens. They just come up, boom. So like when you give, you don't know what happens. That's the same thing. And we don't have to worry about how it happens. Or maybe we're given to us something, a specific work, and we regard the clouds, and they will begin to say, how do you know this work will be successful? You know, then you're never going to sow, because we don't know the work's going to be successful by something we can judge with a barometer or a measuring stick. Because God's successful is somebody stepping out by faith and being obedient. Whatever comes is up to him. And he says, if you sow the seed, you'll reap the harvest. And even if you don't see it, you will reap it. How about the awesome work that Christ himself did and people criticized it? They saw clouds, they saw wind with Christ's own work. They said he's the leader of a sect or a cult. Now, if you had a guy going around, I'm a pastor, and he's camping out in the woods and moving around with no place to lay his head, and I had a group follow him around, people say that's a cult. You know, they'd be like, he's crazy. Like, you can't do that. That's not how modern day pastors work or whatever, you know, like, but that could happen, right? And like, so like the form or the way something happens, they'll even criticize Jesus himself. And they called him a blasphemer. They called him a blasphemer. He said this. Another one says, I think you spent too much money. Who's been watching The Chosen? Anybody watching The Chosen? So the kids got me watching The Chosen again. I can't watch it unless they're here, because we all have to watch it together. But anyway, so what was it? Mary poured out the ointment on Jesus' feet, and they're like, hey, that money could have been given to the poor, you know? And like, it makes no rational sense. They're looking at the clouds and the wind. They're looking at a reason not to give to Jesus, right? And this lady's just like pouring it out, giving to Jesus. She's not looking at the clouds or the wind. She's just giving. And he who observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. And if that is what we're doing, finding imperfections and difficulties, we'll never do anything at all. And what are the most critical people doing? Think of the most critical person you could think of, and they're probably doing nothing. It's like, what do they call it? A something quarterback? Monday morning quarterback? Armchair quarterback? Yeah, like, they're not the ones actually doing it, you know. I'm sure they could do it better than the real coach, you know. But, yeah. So, you know, another wind or cloud could be the human heart. My old Adam is too strong for me. It's just too strong. And one sin could lead you into another sin. So you got the sin of living in the flesh and my old man that actually does blatant lust and lasciviousness type sins. And then you get frustrated. And then he who knows to do right and does it not, it is sin to him. So like Satan will take this and say, hey, that's too much. You can't do right. You can't walk with God. But it's a lie. Don't regret. These are clouds. Your own sin and all that, they're wind and clouds. Don't regard them. Just regard Jesus and walk with him. And so the human heart. If I regarded one cloud of the fall, the original sin, the natural depravity of man, I would never sow anything, because we're all terrible, right? We're depraved. We're not capable of sowing, right? Says Satan. Don't listen to the clouds and the wind. Somebody might say, what's the use in trying to save Antoine Stone? Do you remember that guy who came up and gave a testimony? He was from West Baltimore. He goes by Ice Cream, his name. But anyway, he lived in West Baltimore, and this guy, Steve Paragallo, drove like 50 minutes every week to pick him up and take him to church. And they had started a sports club, a kids club out there, and it all dwindled, and there was only this one kid in a terrible situation, the atmosphere, the neighborhood, everything. What's the use? There's only one kid. Well, he sowed anyway. He didn't listen to the wind and the clouds telling him that's too far. That's too much time, too much gas, too much wear and tear in your car. You might get shot over there. You know, whatever the winds and the clouds said to him, he continued to go get him, and now the kid's following God. You know, he's an adult following God. And now Steve Perigello, I didn't even know him, but he's a really humble guy. He plays guitar really well, too. But anyway, he's in Cambodia now. He went to Cambodia for a year. But he wasn't looking at the winds and the clouds there either. And somebody might say, what's this, the use of seeking to raise up such and such a woman if she's surrounded by these examples or their atmosphere? And people observe the winds, regard the clouds, they just don't sow. Because they don't sow, they don't reap. Right? If we don't sow, we don't reap. We don't attempt to do any work. And of course, you can't complete which you don't start. And so we can make all kinds of excuses to do nothing, with certain people especially, because we feel maybe God isn't going to choose that person to bless. Like that's a wind in the cloud, right? Like we'll make judgments in our mind about people or situations or people that are in situations. And when we could be sowing. And here's another way you can sow is prayer, right? That's a big one. People who have been believers for years can begin to live by feelings and observe their circumstances. I don't feel like praying. Well, when you don't feel like praying, that's probably the time you need to pray the most, you know. But if we keep trying to figure out whether we're in the right frame of mind to pray, we'll never pray. You know, just pray. Just start praying. You know, all the distractions and everything. Just start doing it. And sometimes we can say, "I want to have joy in God and believe His word," but I don't see anything in myself. Are you going to build upon yourself? No, we build on Christ, right? If you're trying to find your ground of consolation in your own heart, you're going to have a problem. Our hope is not in self, but in Christ. Let us go and sow it. We sow Christ, even to ourselves. We speak Christ to ourselves. And we can speak Christ to other people too. Our hope's the finished work of Christ. Let's go and reap it. It's a great lesson to learn spiritual things, to believe in Christ, believe in the finished work, as much as when you're down as when you're up. You think about that? Christ isn't more Christ on top of the mountain than he is in the valley. And he's no less Christ in a stormy night than he is on a sunny day. Christ is Christ, and he's our solid. We can trust him. So here's a thought. When we don't sow, God tells us to sow, right? And when we don't sow, that could be sin. One of the things, obviously, it could be is disobedience. God tells me to sow, I don't sow. Because the wind would blow some of my seed away. God tells me to reap, I don't reap. And so, does that make sense, though? The wind would blow some of my seed away. The seed which God gives me, and he'll give me more if the wind blows that away. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's just so. If God tells me to reap, and I do not reap because there's a big black cloud, I think I'm not going to be able to get the harvest in before it spoils, then that's disobedience, right? And Mason used to say something like this: an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. You ever heard that? I think he quoted that from somebody, but I remember he said it in a message. An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And there's always a reason, you know, but then we stick our lie in there. And we can say what we want, but it's disobedience. I've not done what I've been told to do. What can happen when we do what God tells us? Well, there could be consequences we don't like, actually. The wind could blow all our seed away, and the rain could rot all our harvest. But that's not up to us. He's the one that makes it grow. He's the one that tells us to sow it. He's the one that tells us to reap it. We're just servants, right? And this is what Spurgeon says. Do you want obedience to always be rewarded by a spoonful of sugar? Are you such a baby that you will do nothing unless there will be some little toy for you directly after? A man in Christ Jesus will sow, even if it involves him in losses and crosses, slanders and rebukes, yes, even martyrdom itself. May God help you to do so. He that observeth the wind and does not sow when he is bidden to cast his seed upon the waters is guilty of disobedience. And that's pretty strong, but like sometimes we want it our way. Here's another one, unbelief. If we can't sow because of the wind, who manages the wind? Who controls the clouds? And we're going to be like, well, I'm not going to sow. God's telling me to sow, but I'm not going to sow because it's too windy outside. Well, if God's telling you to sow and he controls the wind, then he can stop the wind if he wants, right? So that's unbelief. Where's our faith? We can call it prudence, but unbelief is its true name. Rebellion. Here's one I never really think of too much, but it kind of is. So you will not sow unless God chooses to make the wind blow your way. So early on, I tried to make a couple deals with God. I was like, okay, I'll preach, but I'm not leading music. Because I know I've been called to preach. I don't think I was led to, and then nobody came for like 15 years, you know, and I'm leading music, like terrible. And then finally, like, I kind of felt like God saying, who tells who what to do? Do you tell me what to do? Or do I tell you what to do? I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll lead music. You know, all the time I'm praying for music leaders. So I'm so happy for the music team. You know, God answered that prayer like a long time later. And there's probably a lot of other examples with that, but it's really rebellion. Like, you won't sow unless God chooses to make the wind blow your way. You know, like I'm not going to preach unless I have at least 20 people here. That's my sign to God. God didn't tell me that was a sign. No, I'm just making this up. Somebody would look surprised I said that. I'm not saying that. I'm just making up a story. But like, I could say that, right? And we could say that, like, unless I get these type of results or unless things go my way, the wind blows my way, I'm not going to do it. But, and why is this rebellion? You will not reap unless God pleases to drive the clouds away. The true servant serves his master. Let his master do what he wills. Oh, if you would only alter my circumstances, that is tempting God, as they did in the wilderness, wishing him to do other than he does. We must not rebel like that by complaining of what he does. So like, here we are, we're complaining about the wind, we're complaining about the clouds, and focusing on that instead of sowing and reaping, which he's telling us to do. He's like, don't regard that. Don't look at that. Your sin, your circumstances, the outcome of sowing and all that. Just sow. Sow and reap. Fear. There's probably a lot of little sayings, but it's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. That's a little saying. One of them is the only people who have never failed are the people that never try. You know, that these sayings like this. In spiritual matters, we can be scared of failure. But obedience is not failure. So then what's there to be scared of? Right? What other people think of us? In some sense, if I'm being obedient to God, who cares what other people think of us? I don't care. Right? And so neither, we shouldn't care. God has commanded his people not to fear, then we should obey him. And then some people to fall in the sin of not giving or being stingy. And I'm not talking about wise and how you give, but you can't use that as an excuse not to give. There's a cloud here, there's wind there, you know, there's always a reason. He that observes the clouds and wind thinks that's not a good thing to give to. And the real reason is they just don't want to give. Because it's an excuse, it's the skin of a reason stuff with a lie. They can find a reason. You can find a reason if you're looking for one. And some people always have a reason. Anything that's proposed, and I'm preaching to the choir, by the way, because this is a very giving church. We love God, and we're a very giving church. I've seen that firsthand. A very serving church. When I talk about serving and that we should serve, I'm not saying that we're not serving. I'm not saying we're not giving. This is the servingest, givingest church. You know, we're awesome. But this is also God's word, and we need to meditate on it. We need to learn it and relearn it and walk in it, right? And Spurgeon said, I was reading Spurgeon this week, freely you have received, freely give. And since you are stewards of a generous master, let it never be said that the most liberal of lords has the stingiest of stewards. You got to think about that a little bit. Okay, so here's God. He's the master, and we're the stewards. He gives us stuff, and the stuff we have is not our stuff. It's his stuff. We're just taking care of it for him. And he's a giver, and yet we're stingy. Like, let's not that be said. If God's a giver, then we should, you know, give as he leads us. And nobody's telling you have to give to this or that, but as he leads you. Another sin is often that of idleness. The man who does not sow because of the wind is often too lazy to sow. And I'm guilty of every one of these, by the way. And you probably are too. Like every one of them. Like we all have a sin nature. And the man who does not sow because of the wind is often too lazy to sow. There's a lion in the way, he said. A lion's in the street, Proverbs 26:13. And lions don't, they're afraid of the street. There's not going to be a lion in the street in the broad daylight. There's not going to be a lion in the street. So like he's just saying this. If I go out in the street, there could be a lion. You know, like actually there's, aren't there rattlesnakes here? If I went in the parking lot, there could be a rattlesnake. I better not go in the parking lot. I mean, it just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? So how can we apply it? So if you look at Ecclesiastes 11, there's a few verses before and after it that kind of help with that too, but by sowing in the most unlikely of places, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. So ships, merchants would invest in ships that go out on the waters, and they'd have to wait a long time for the ship to come back. And it was a very high-risk venture, because a lot of times pirates attacked the ships were stolen, the ships were sank by a storm or whatever. They never got back what was coming. They lose their money. But when it did come back, they had a big reward. You know, so he's saying, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. So sow in the most unlikely of places. Like, apparently people weren't investing in this very much. But like invest and sow. Apply it by doing good to many, Ecclesiastes 1:2. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. Talk about Christ with everybody you meet. Talk to seven people, talk to one more. Unlimited supply of seed. And where was the seed sown in Mark 4? Remember the seed? It said it was sown on the wayside or the path. Now what farmer sows his seed on the path? Do you sow your seed on the road, the dirt road going into the field that you haven't plowed? Do you throw seed down there? No. Sometimes by accident. Bad farmer. Yeah, farmers realize every farmer accidentally does that. But here, I think it's like the farmer was sowing and the wind blew it over where he didn't want it to go. He didn't want it on the path, right? So it ended up on the path. But the seed wasn't only on the good ground. The seed was on the wayside, the rocky ground with the thorns and the thistles. And so give a portion of 7 and also to 8. Like sow it broadly. Like sow it. Apply it by not needing to know how God works. It's Ecclesiastes 11:5. Talking about, let's just read it. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. We don't have to know how God works. God works. It says we sow, there's going to be a harvest. That's how God works. And so go out and sow. And apply it with constant diligence, Ecclesiastes 1:6. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Be instant in season and out of season. So diligence. And so the conclusion is, I'm going to wrap this up here. Don't give heed to, here's another one, winds of strange doctrine that are everywhere in today's society. Strange doctrine, blowing, blowing, blowing. It's a storm, but it won't move us, right? And if you sit down and you think of novel doctrines and what people have invented that aren't biblical, and how the churches have fallen into this, and you could just give up, right? You could just give up and say, it's crazy. Like, I meet a lot of people like, I don't want to go to church. Churches are crazy. I've seen a church do this, or I saw a church, they believe this, or something like that. But no, like we hold to what we believe and what we know is true. No matter what the winds say, we come. And by faith, we come. And guess what happens when we come in here by faith? We're sowing seed. Because it says the body builds itself up in love. Like we build each other up. Just by being here, to see your smiley face builds me up. To see your frowny face builds me up. If you got a stomachache and you show up, it builds me up. You know? Just to be here. Just to be here, you build each other up. And there's something going on. You're sowing a seed. You're sowing a seed in your own heart, listening to the Word of God. And you're sowing seed in other hearts that you're coming to listen to the Word of God. You're coming to fellowship, to be with the body. You're like, hey, I believe, right? I believe, and so do you. And we encourage each other that this is awesome. And so we could get frustrated with what's going on what churches are falling into, but we give ourselves to a holy service, and there are no winds and no clouds, and God gives us peace. And also, here's another analogy, a thermometer. When the temperature rises, the thermometer goes up and down, right? Or the barometer or anything like that. And but we don't want to be like that. Believe what we believe and hold on to it. We hold on to it, to the old rugged cross. And if you begin to focus on things and be distracted by these things and just be critical all the time, we won't sow. And if we don't sow, we can't reap. Well, actually, sometimes we can reap what somebody else sows, right? And because God, we're all one body. But and then I'll leave you with this thought. This is Spurgeon. Follow the Lord's mind, come what may. Set your face like a flint to serve God and to defy earth and hell. If there were a crowd of demons between you and Christ, kick a lane through them by holy faith. They will fly before you. If you have the courage to move, they can't stop you. You will make a clear path through thousands of them. Only be strong and of good courage. And do not regard even the clouds from hell or the blast from the infernal pit, but go straight on in the right path, and God being with you, you shall sow and you shall reap unto his eternal glory. Isn't that a good picture? Like, you think, like, there's demons here, and I can kick a path through them by faith, to have the courage to move. If God's telling you to move, you move, and they can't resist God, right? God is God. He's in control of them. So let's pray. This morning, we want to sow belief. We want to believe you, God. If there's anyone here who's never received Christ as their Savior, just sow belief this morning. Plant it. Believe in Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Say to God, I believe in Jesus. I believe in what he did on the cross, that he died to pay for my sin, and I receive that for my sin. Lord, we just pray that we can just walk by faith and not look at the winds or the clouds, and that we can step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.